We've been blessed. Open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Talk about being blessed. We have this thing called God's grace. Someone wrote a song one time, said it's God's amazing grace. And amazing it is. When we think of the grace of God, what do you think about? Some people says, well, there's an acronym for it, meaning God's riches at Christ's expense. But grace and true grace is something that, unless you've experienced, you can't really explain it. You've got to experience it. And if you've ever experienced the grace of God, and we know that the grace of God is when God gives us things we don't deserve. We also realize that the mercy of God is when God don't give us what we do deserve. I tell people this sometimes. The Bible says that we are saved by grace. Hebrews chapter 12 says we serve by grace. And then when we suffer, we have to understand that we suffer by grace. Paul, when he was suffering in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, said he had a thorn in the flesh and said he prayed three times that God would remove it. God didn't. But God gave him something. When he became weak, he became strong because the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. Someone said that grace is our spending money from God while traveling through this world on our way home. Everything that we need, we have enough of to take care of by grace. Grace is sufficient to save us. Grace is sufficient to change us and give us everything we need to do that God asked out of us. And grace is also sufficient for everything that we go through. I try to remind people this. If you're saved and you're having one of those down days, remember this thought. Because of Christ, this is the only hell you'll ever experience. And man, when you think of it that way, God's been pretty good. Amen. God's been pretty good. Ephesians chapter 2. Stay with me. I want to preach from verse 10, but I want to begin reading in verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now let me say this. If you don't realize who and what you are, you'll never realize who and what God is. But when you realize that you were dead, and all sinners are dead, dead in trespasses and sin. The word quickened means that he had made us alive. By his grace, he's able to take dead, spiritually dead people and make them alive and quicken them. Look in verse 2. Wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Not only were we dead, but we were deceived. The devil deceives us. As he's deceiving many today, there's a lot of people lost out there walking in the ways of the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, and that's old Satan himself. In verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were also depraved. Not only that, we were doomed. We were children of wrath. If God had left us alone in our state and his grace had not come along, we would have no hope. Grace is giving us something that we can't get for ourselves. Remember this. Grace always comes down. We never can give God grace. God always gives us grace. Only one direction grace comes. It comes from above. Amen. And so we get all our grace from God. Now you have to remember this, and I'll get on with the rest of the message. And I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. The Bible says God give grace to the humble. He resists the proud. You do not get grace standing up here all proud in thinking that you can handle things yourself. If you want grace of God, you got to get down here. And you got to humble yourself before God. You get down here. Down here is where grace flows. Pride flows up here. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Therefore, if you come to him to be saved, you got to humble yourself. You won't, you know, I've seen some people come this, I've seen many people walk this aisle since I've been here. I've seen some come broken and humble. I've seen some come, they just can't kind of come down with a smile on their face and just like God deserves, they deserve whatever they ask of God. Right. Those people don't last very long. Right. You see, if you want real grace, you got to get down low where grace flows. And listen, if you're having trouble and you're wanting God's help, God says, cursed is the arm of flesh, blessed is the arm of the Lord. You want grace from God? You got to get down low. You humble yourself before him. The Bible says God dwells in the high, lofty places of heaven in Isaiah 57, and he also dwells among the humble, contrite hearts. Amen. You want grace? You humble yourself. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. And listen, when you're serving God, if you think you're all that, whether you're preaching, whether you're singing, whether you're whatever way you're serving God, if you think you're all that, my friend, you can't serve God that way. God gives you grace to serve. When you are serving in grace, you realize what Paul says, and he said this, I am chiefest of all sinners. I am what I am by the grace of God. In other words, I've got nothing to boast about myself. It's all because of what he's done through me. Not that I deserve it, but God's been more than good to me, amen? And God's grace is why I am what I am. In other words, he's given me something that I don't deserve. Now look on. Now even though we're depraved and dead and deceived, in verse 4 the Bible says, but God. Thank God for his divine intervention. If it wasn't for God intervening, you know what we'd still be? Dead, doomed, and damned. And thank God that he come along. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. In other words, notice his intervention, and he did it because he loved us. And notice that he personally involves himself with us. Amen. Look in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. In verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In other words, we have a divine identification because of grace. We are now children of God. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, according to John chapter 1, verse number 12. Now look on, if you would, in verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, what this verse means is, in the ages to come, when we are in heaven, in our glorified bodies, and the angels look upon us, and they remember who we were, what we were when Christ found us, and where he found us, and what kind of people we were. The Bible says the angels desire to look into it. They just don't fully gather it. Because, see, they were created the way they were, but we were not. We were born into sin. Many of us come from a lot of different backgrounds. Some of us, we would be ashamed to tell you what our lives consisted of. And man, we were wretched sinners. But thank God, because of his amazing grace, that God has now taken us, and one of these days when he's through with us, he will present us perfect in heaven, glorified. When we see him, talking about Jesus, we do not yet know what we will be, but we know this. When we see him, we will be like him. And we will be perfect in our glorified bodies. No more pain. No more sickness, no more sin, no more sorrow. Thank God for that, amen? But look here, think about this. When we do that, we will be in heaven singing songs to the throne of grace. And I've heard people say this, and you've heard me repeat it. People say, well, we will join the angel choir. You never see an angel choir in heaven. The last time you ever see angels singing in the Bible is at the creation of the world. Job chapter 38, verse 7. Never again in the whole Bible does an angel ever sing. When John in Revelation sees people singing, it's not the angels. It's those of us who's have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We will be singing throughout the ages for the goodness and grace of God. His grace, because we deserve nothing. And you know, down here sometimes I hear people get up and they'll give a testimony here or there. And sometimes you hear some people give a testimony and you think it's all about them. My friend, when we get to heaven, those of us who make it to heaven, it'll be all about Him. Not about you. It will be because of His grace. And the Bible says that He will show, as we gathered there around the throne of the Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world, He will show us as the riches of His grace. In other words, the angels looked and said, man, I remember where these ladies were. Look at them now, what He's done to them. They didn't deserve none of this. I don't understand why God did this to them. Well, my friend, we can't say why He did it either. It's like that old song we sing sometimes. I remember the time, I can take you to the place. But I can't tell you how and I can't tell you why. Only by God's amazing grace, amen. That's the only way we can explain it. Now, not only that, look in verse 8. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, let me say something here. Sometimes we get confused with the fruit of salvation and the root of salvation. The root of salvation is by grace through faith, period. Sometimes we try to add all these other things to it, but the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. When we get to heaven, we're going to be bragging about one thing, and that's Jesus. We're going to be bragging about the grace of God. And therefore, we can't boast of nothing because it was by His grace through our faith that we got saved. Not of our works, nothing we did. Now, works is not the root of salvation. Faith is. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. They that come to Him must believe that He is. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we are saved by faith, believing in what God has said, and by His grace He saves us. Then the fruit of salvation is works. We ought to work. Listen, God, each of us who are saved, we are an investment of God. And if you ever make an investment, what you want in an investment is a return. He expects something out of you when you get saved. Now, He didn't ask you to earn your salvation. He gave it to you. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift that God gives to you. But when He gives you that, and He saves you by His amazing grace, He expects something in return. Let's look on, if you would, in verse number 10. This is where I want to get to, and I'll cover a couple things real quickly and close. But notice, if you would, in verse 10. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Notice in verse 10 there, four words I want to just look at real quickly and just touch on because I've covered some other things more than I expected to. Look, if you would, in verse 10. The Bible says, for we are His workmanship. A workmanship, there, that word workmanship means that we are a work of art that God has done. In other words, He has taken something and He has made it into something. Now, some of you has abilities. You have ability to take a plain canvas and draw. Some of you have the ability to take an instrument and play it. And some of you have other instruments and you have the ability to do works of art. But God says, that's what we are. We are His masterpieces. You look at me now, and you say, man, has He missed the mark? But He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And one of these days, He'll be finished with me. And when He is, I will be a masterpiece. We are His workmanship. Now, notice this. He says, created in Christ Jesus. The word created means that He takes and makes something out of nothing. Only God creates. Everybody else makes things. You might be an inventor, and you might invent something, but what you do is you take something and you make it into something else. God takes nothing, and He makes something. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Even Napoleon, one time, as depleted as Napoleon was, one night he was walking by, and a bunch of his soldiers was talking about that there was no God and laughing at there's no God. And Napoleon stopped, and he's pointing them up. He said, look up here. He said, you got to get rid of all these if you're going to explain away God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that even the heavens declare His handiwork. And what I'm trying to tell you today is this, that what God did with us because of His grace, He took a bunch of nothings. Somebody said, oh, preacher, listen, I don't like to be called a nothing. Well, the Bible says, when a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I'm here to tell you that when God found us, we were nothing. We were sinners deserving hell. Amen. That's where we were headed. That's where we were destined. And only by God's grace were we saved through our faith in Christ Jesus. But all praise and honor goes to Him. But I want you to understand, the Bible says that for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You see, the only way that God can make us is through Christ. I've got sad news for this Muslim group. I got sad news for these other groups that's trying to go to heaven away from Christ. Jesus said Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Any man trying to get to heaven apart from Jesus will not. All masterpieces that God creates, they are created in Christ Jesus. And if you are saved, it is because of Christ and your faith and trust in Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. That is what you are. And you say, well, preacher, don't you think that grace, if you're saved by grace, that you ought to do something for God? Absolutely. The Bible tells us that some in these latter days will be teaching lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That means that we turn the grace of God, the fact that He's good to us and He saved us without works, we turn it into a practice of sin because we say, well, we're saved, so it doesn't matter. We can do whatever we want to do. Listen, God never taught any such thing. The Bible says, if you read, you need to go back and read chapter 2 of Titus in verse 11 through 15. The Bible says when you have the grace of God, it will do some certain things about you. And it will change your attitude and change some things about you. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote in Corinthians, he said it makes us a new creature. Now, not only that, but also notice that he says works. Now, works are things that you perform. And notice unto good works. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible says, and this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You know what tree it was Adam and Eve plucked from, or Eve plucked from? What tree was it? The tree what? There was two trees there they could not eat from. The tree of life, and what's the other one? Tree of knowledge of what? Good and evil. You see, until Eve ate of that tree, God determined what was good and what was evil. But the reason why Eve was deceived by Satan is because
he convinced her that if she ate of it, she could determine for herself what was good and what was evil. The Bible says, for us who thinks that we can determine good, there is none good. No, not one. Somebody said, well, preacher, how about all these good things? I'm just as good as anybody that goes to your church. Well, you might be on one side of the issue, but neither one of us are good enough to go to heaven because there is none good. The only time that the Bible ever speaks of things that we do are good is whenever we get saved, because everything that we do is then ministered through the Holy Ghost. And then the Bible says that he will see good things that we do. And that's why the Bible says we are created to good works. But until you're created in Christ Jesus, you can't do good works. And can I say this? There's way too many people out here pretending to be something for the Lord that's never been created in Christ Jesus. And that's why they're doing things, but it's not of God. And that's why the Bible says in that day of judgment, many shall say unto me, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in thy name? Do we not cast out devils? Do many wonderful works? He'll say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. A lot of false prophets out here. Don't fall for everybody who steps behind a pulpit and says, I am. Because only God does the calling. But listen, you can't perform good works until you have the Holy Spirit of God. And so this morning, let me say this. God anticipates a return in his investment. He has invested in you the blood of his Son. And Brother Greg, you need to continually remember where you were when God found you. You need to remember what you were and what you would have been had it not been for God's interceding amazing grace. And the fact that he saved you through your faith in Christ, and he has made you what you are, and he's created in you good works. And now if you get saved, all of a sudden you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And all of a sudden you have different desires. And God gives you different direction. Somebody said, preacher, how can we know that we're saved? The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, his Spirit witnesses with my spirit that we are the children of God. And see, when I was born again of the Spirit, and tonight if I don't change and God doesn't change my direction, I think I'm going to be preaching on the washing of the Spirit of God and what it means to have the Spirit of God and when you get born again, what it means to have a new birth. And so therefore, today I want you to understand, if you have been saved, you got one person to thank. And it's by his amazing grace. But you need to understand, if you are saved, you are so blessed. And you got a lot to be thankful for. And what he wants out of you is, to be good works means, and remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Anybody know? What? Good works. And that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. What he has done is this, once we are saved, we are to walk around and people say, that's one of them. That's when, well, I remember when she was nothing but old harlot down there. Well, I remember him. He was an old drunkard down here. And man, was he a mean guy. You know, the guy who wrote Amazing Grace, he was nothing but old drunken, a slave trader, John Newton. Nobody thought there's no way he'd possibly get saved. His mother was the only one ever prayed for him because he was so mean. But after God saved him, he'd go up in churches. He'd get up and he'd sing Amazing Grace. They say, that's one of him. And see, when we get to heaven, that's what the angels are going to do. They're going to say, that old no good, no count, Martin Calhoun. And he look at him. Look what he's made him. That's one of them. Let me ask you this morning. Have you ever experienced God's amazing grace? Did you know he loved the whole world? That whosoever will, let him come. You must be willing to come to him. He said, if you come to him, he will in no wise cast out. But you got to come to him. Would you come this morning? And maybe you're here and you are saved. And maybe you've just forgotten how good God's been to you. And maybe this morning you need to come get before God and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for all my complaining. Or maybe you're here and you say, God, help me that my light's not been shining. Help me to open my light that other people may see Jesus in me. And maybe you need to come this morning. However God may lead you, would you do it as we stand? Give a song of invitation, Brother Porter.